I feel a weightiness to today's message. I know what the Lord has spoken to me. I know that for every single one of you, whether you've walked with the Lord for one day or whether you've walked with the Lord for 40 years, that this word applies to you and it can change the absolutely change the course of your walk with God and your future, the rest of your life. So I ask that you would put all of your focus and all of your attention upon the word. Luke 22:39-46 is our main scripture. Jesus has left the Last Supper and he will soon be arrested, betrayed by Judas. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. You might underline that sentence. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Now this is recorded in several of the Gospels, and I am not going to go to all of them. I will mention things about the differences. There are little facts and information that's given in each account that's slightly different that gives us insight, because the disciples slept and were awakened three times. And so we will see that in a few moments. But I want to talk to you first by way of introduction this morning about where you are. Where you are in your walk with God. Be real honest with yourself. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to your heart this morning. Forget that there's anyone next to you. Nobody's looking at you and analyzing you. The Lord wants to speak to your heart today. I'm not here to analyze you or to judge you, but I'm not here to make you comfortable either. Just as the Holy Spirit did not make me comfortable this week as I was in this word. And yet he reassured me and he comforted me and he made me feel his presence and to know that it was him, that it was he who spoke. In every one of your lives as a believer, you are going to find that if you've just been born again, you've just come to the Lord, you walk with him with zeal for a while, and then you'll find that there are times when it seems to be dry or you seem to lag. You'll find yourself in battles. You will find that the enemy tries to overthrow your commitment to the Lord. He seeks to ruin your walk with God, and you'll find that it gets hard. You'll find that there are times that you know God is calling you to do something that you don't want to do. You will know that there are times when to move forward with him means you have to remember his words again, which say that if any man would be my disciple, let him first count the cost. And to continue following him day by day means that there will be continually times when you must count the cost in order to walk with the Lord. There are going to be times, I call them plateaus. There will be plateaus. You're climbing mountains for a while and then you're walking on flat ground. And there'll be times when you let your guard down. There will be times when it's peaceful. There will be times that are times of such blessing that you say, "Oh God, let me camp here. Can I just stay here for a while? Can I just sort of have it easy for a while? And not have the battles that I was in the valley and not have all of the climbing." Even though the climbing was good, because climbing, I always encounter God. And he is the one that gives us strength to climb, right? He is the one who ministers to us as we are climbing mountains and as we are going up mountaintops with him. And then we come out onto flat ground, we come out onto a plateau, and it's easy. How many of you know after you've climbed a mountain, it's easy to walk on flat ground for a while? Sometimes you don't want to go back up again, because it's difficult. There will be times, and many of you probably are at a place right now where you have rested, in your walk with God. There will be many of you in this place this morning that you find that you're in a place of comfort. You may have things that are very heavily weighing on your mind and on your heart, but you're not ready to fight and you're not ready to go forward in those things. You want to camp and settle down and just kind of slide in for the rest of your life, maybe, and say, I'm a Christian. Praise God, I'm a Christian. I'm forgiven. I don't have to do anything to earn my forgiveness or to earn God's love for me. He could not possibly love me any more according to any works that I do than He loves me right now, just the way I am, according to His word. But beloved, there is something for you today, because there is an importance that we will see of always being called upward, always being called onward. God always has a new mountain. God always has more revelation for you. God always has more usefulness for you. Christians do not retire from being Christians. They do not retire from their service to the Lord. They do not retire from climbing mountains. And everything that you're going through right now, everything that we go through in our lives, is for this one purpose. Every difficulty that you find yourself in, every time you find yourself on the plateau and there's a mountain ahead of you, but you're resisting climbing it, every difficulty that He allows to come through the wall of protection that He has around you is for one purpose, and that is to move you. It is to call you. It is to prepare you. It is to say, come up a little bit higher. It is to say, I have something that I want to show you. I have something that I want to do in your life, but you must pursue it. We find in this passage of Scripture that the disciples, first there were 120, and then there were, out of the 120, there were 12 who walked closely with the Lord. And out of the 12, there were 3 that were His inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And we find that they come to His hour of testing, His hour of trial before the cross. He leads them, and they come to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a place that He frequented for prayer. And He takes some with Him a little further each step of the way. Do not make the mistake of interpreting this passage of Scripture in the way that would say, well, it's up to Jesus. He only takes a few in closely with Him. No, He knew the ones who would go a little further with Him. Yes. And He took the 12 with Him into Gethsemane. And out of the 12, He told Peter, James, and John, go a little further with me. The Bible says that they went a little further with Him, and then it says that Jesus left them and He went a little further, about a stone's throw beyond where they stopped. And He went into a time of great agony and a time of great prayer. And beloved, listen closely, because you have a picture in this passage of Scripture. You have 3 very frustrated, depressed, anxious, frightened disciples. You have 3 disciples who are on the verge of forsaking Him and of denying Him. You have 3 disciples who are not walking right now in much victory. They are not being a picture for us. They are not a picture for us of overcomers. You find 3 disciples who are burdened and heavy laden with worry, with fear and anxiety and depression. And sometimes the difference between being an overcomer and being the disciple that is weighed down with depression, fear, and all of those things is only the distance of a little stone's throw. Just a stone's throw further. The Bible is very clear that it says that Jesus went a stone's throw further. Abraham was called by God, and his life is a journey of following the Lord, even when he did not know where God was leading him. He did not know what the next mountain would be. He did not know where the next place would be. The Bible says that God called Abraham to go to a place that He would show him, but he did not know where he was going until he got up and he went a little further each time as God led him and as he moved forward. In his great test, which would be like the foreshadowing in Abraham's life of Gethsemane in Jesus' life, Mount Moriah, where he was called to go up and was tested to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Bible says that Abraham saw the place afar off, but he had to go. Each step of the way was a step further he had to take in order to go to the place where God was going to do something so great in Abraham's life that he would never be the same again. Some of you are already thinking, well, I don't know that I want to go forward into testings and trials. Understand, we will cover that. That's not what this message should be about to you right now, because God had great things that he wanted to do through Jesus Christ. Gethsemane is not just about his trial and his sweating of blood. Gethsemane is about far more than that, as he overcame and as he was delivered and he came out of Gethsemane a conqueror, an overcomer, to go to the cross for you and I, to reign on the throne of God for all of eternity, to fulfill the purpose that God had for his son. God has a purpose for you in your life. Jesus went a stone's throw further, lifted his eyes, the Bible says, of Abraham, and saw the place far off. In this passage of scripture in Luke that we are reading, again it says that three went with him. It's recorded also in Matthew chapter 26. We're not going to turn there, but they went with him. In Matthew, it says that three went a little further than the other 12. And it says that Jesus went a stone's throw further. Think about it. Because you're going to understand in a moment that this is not about people who haven't walked with God and those who are walking with God a little further. This is about people who have walked with God. These three disciples have seen perhaps more than anyone the miracles of God. They have walked closely with the Lord. And you may have walked closely with the Lord. You may be sitting here thinking, I've had mountaintop experiences with God. I've walked closely with the Lord. This message is still for you. Think about it, all that Jesus had been through. After all of his suffering and all of his victories, after all of his deliverances, all of his casting out demons, raising the dead, after opening blind eyes and performing miracles, teaching multitudes, and also being rejected by the leadership of his day. Remember that I said that. After being rejected by those who were supposed to know his Father, he still had to go a little further in order to identify with sinful humanity and take your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary once and for all. The Bible says that we are like seed planted in the earth, and unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it produces no fruit. It produces nothing. But if it dies, it produces, it grows again, and it produces much fruit, sometimes 30-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 100-fold. What is the produce of your life in God? What is your fruit for God that you present to him today? That this is what God has done and worked in my life. This is the fruit that is coming forth from my life. God has 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And sometimes the difference between the disciple who produces a 30-fold and a 60-fold and a 100-fold is only the distance of a stone's throw. Just going a little bit further. Scripture says that he withdrew from them. He withdrew from them and went a little further. Mark's gospel says he went forward a little. Matthew says he went a little further. No matter how old you are today, no matter how long you have walked with the Lord, God wants to speak to you about going a little further, about just going stone's throw further. Jesus was faced with something difficult, something hard. You may be faced with something difficult, something hard. And beloved, a stone's throw is not always easy. Where the stone's throw will lead you may be just a little ways, but that doesn't mean you don't have to count the cost. It does not mean that it's easy, because to follow the Lord is a narrow path. Jesus said, narrow is the way and few are they who find it. I know as I'm getting older, I will be transparent with you today and tell you, for those who don't already know it, as I get older, there are times that I'm like, God, can I just take it easy? You know, I've had a season of just such blessing. And Lord, I don't feel like fighting. I really don't want to fight. I don't feel like fighting Satan. I don't feel like the tests and trials that come. I don't feel like going up mountains. I don't feel like warring against demonic spirits. I don't feel like being offended by anyone else in the church or anyone else being offended by me. I don't feel like, and the list could go on and on and on. And the Lord says, what will you miss if you refuse to go just a stone's throw further? Just a stone's throw further. Jesus is going to come face to face with his own humanity in the Garden of Gethsemane, with his own natural death. He was going to come into an encounter with his Father. He was going to be faced with dying to self, dying to the desire to live, to continue. He said, God, if there's any way, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, then let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It was not easy. It was a difficult, difficult decision. But he went a stone's throw further for you and I. And beloved, unless we are willing to go further, unless you are willing to go a stone's throw further with the Lord, you will never know what it means to be able to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Three disciples did not go further. Three disciples did not pray. He said to them, stay here and pray while I go yonder. Stay here and watch with me while I go and pray. These three disciples, beloved, represent those who have gone far with the Lord. Some of you have gone far with the Lord. They represent those who have gone far in God. They saw, these three disciples saw, and they experienced more than most, more than the 12, because these three, remember, were taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The others were not. They saw more of the miracles of Christ than anyone else. But they were not willing to go all the way with him. They could not watch. They could not pray. They kept falling asleep. And the result, listen closely, because you're going to see this before we end. The result was that they were weakened even more. The result was that they not only fell short of what God had for them in that moment, but the result was that they were easily tempted to deny him. And they all fled, the Bible says, in his hour of trial. They forsook him. They were not willing to go all the way. We're not going to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 through 39 speaks of us doing one of two things. We will either go forward unto perfection. That does not mean sinlessness, but it means having a clear conscience before the Lord that we have gone all the way with him, that we are able to do. We will fail, we will stumble, but we will have a heart of repentance, and we will always be coming back seeking to go after what he has for us. And we will either go on and on forward towards perfection, or we will be drawing back. He says, but we don't want to be like, we are not like those who draw back to perdition, which means being lost. We are called to go forward. Beloved, you can never say when you're on the plateau. Some of you are on the plateau today. When you're on the plateau, you can never stop and say, well, I'm just maintaining. I'm just at an in-between place. I'm just resting. You're either pressing on and going forward into the Lord, or you're drawing back. You're going backwards or you're going forward. There is no standing still. We have to be willing to go a stone's throw further. These three went further than the other nine. And there are always some who are willing to go further. Are you this morning willing to go further with the Lord? Beloved, there's always the temptation. Every day of your life, there's going to be the temptation to stop and not go all the way. But today the Lord is asking you, will you go a stone's throw further? We're not going to turn to these. Psalm 42, 7, I have quoted it frequently, says, deep calls unto deep. And it is speaking of the very depths of the heart of God calling unto the deep things in the heart of man. He is always calling us. Beloved, you don't call someone unless you're wanting them to respond. You don't call someone unless you have something to say to them. The Lord says to you this morning, deep calls unto deep. The depths of the heart of God call unto the depths in the heart of you. Every single one of you, He is calling you. He is reaching out to you because He has something that He has designed just for you. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10. He speaks in, it's a love song that we'll come back to in a moment. And he speaks to his love and says, rise up my love, my fair one, and come away. And it is a foreshadowing of the Lord speaking to his beloved. Rise up my love, my fair one, come away. In Exodus chapter 40, we find the Israelites wandering in the wilderness and the supernatural cloud, the pillar of cloud that hovered over the tabernacle by day, and it was a pillar of fire by night. And whenever God wanted to move the Israelites, the cloud, which represented the very presence of God, would lift and begin to move. And they knew when the cloud moved, they were to move, to follow after the Lord. And beloved, in your life, that is what He is after in every single one of you right now, is that you would so be in tune with Him, so intimately in love with Him, so much seeking His will for your life, that you would be able to sense and know the voice deep calling unto deep. And when the cloud moves, that you would begin to move with it. Are you willing to go beyond what everyone else around you is doing in order to find that place with Jesus Christ again, perhaps, that you once walked in a fuller way? In our passage in Luke 22, verse 41, says, and he was withdrawn from them. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. That Greek word in this passage for withdraw means to drag away by force. What does that mean? It also means, it has a secondary meaning, to unsheath a sword. In other words, to withdraw the sword from its sheath. It speaks of something that requires a firm action, to withdraw not easily, but to withdraw by force. In other words, to force yourself, if necessary, to be withdrawn from others in order to go forward with the Lord. To drag away with force or to unsheath the sword. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Jesus spoke in Matthew 11, 12. He says, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? It means that Jesus loved those disciples so much, but he loved his Father more, and he loved what his Father had for him more. And it means that he had to, if necessary, forcefully turn and make himself leave them behind and go a stone's throw further in order to encounter what God had for him. That he had to unsheath the sword, spiritually speaking, and battle against his human nature in order to move into the place where he would encounter what God had for him. We have to, beloved, we have to force ourselves. How long has it been since you forced yourself to do something instead of just riding the current of where you are in the Lord? We have to force ourselves to go further with God. Listen to this very closely, because it will cost every one of you. But if you've ever followed the Lord very far, you know this. It means that sometimes you will have to leave others behind. Now, some people always misunderstand things that the preacher says, human nature being what it is. When you have to leave some others behind, that doesn't always mean leaving a church for another church. Unless God is doing something where you know that's what He's calling you to. Some people look for a reason to leave and then they find some spiritual thing sounds good. Well, God, I've prayed and God was saying when it wasn't God at all. And when I say that sometimes you have to leave some people behind, that doesn't mean husbands are going to divorce their wives because their wives aren't following God or vice versa. It doesn't mean you just physically leave people behind unless God is sending you somewhere. And for some of you, that may well be what He is calling you to do. But it means, spiritually speaking, that you turn and you go forward with the Lord no matter what it costs you in relationships of those even whom you love the most. We have to force ourselves to go further with the Lord, to leave other things behind. We have to shake off things like apathy, complacency, laziness, distractions, fear, selfishness. And you say to me this morning, why? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to force myself and go through the heartache of leaving other people behind in order to go into Gethsemane, where there is agony and where there is pain and where there is sorrow and where Jesus shed great drops of blood? Why would I do that? Beloved, because ultimately, one day in the end, the things and the desires of this world will all be passed away. And all that will remain will be what you have done for Christ, what you have done in Christ, and what you have become and who you have become. And everything that you're counting as being very costly right now will mean absolutely nothing. Paul said, I press on. Forgetting those things behind, I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are two kinds of sleeping in the Word of God. There's actually a third in the New Covenant. When it speaks of death, it's referred to as sleep. But I'm not referring to that this morning. There are two images of sleep in the Word of God. And one of them is a good sleep. It is resting in the perfect will of God. It's pictured for us numerous times in the Bible. I will just say in the very beginning that God created Adam. And when it was time to create Eve, He put Adam into a deep sleep. And while Adam was sleeping and did not even understand what was taking place, God had him in a perfect place. How many of you know Adam was in the perfect will of God? He was in a perfect place being taken care of by the Lord while the Lord did the work of fashioning his future, bringing his wife to him. It's a good sleep. When you are sleeping, in other words, when you are resting in the Lord and you're letting him do the work of fashioning your life, and it's okay. But there's a second sleep, and I actually hate to even read this to you because I find this to be one of the most slap me in my face convicting scriptures in all the Word of God. And every time He has me read it again, I just cringe. It's found in two places. Part of it is. It's in Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. It's also found in part in Proverbs 6, 10 through 11. But it says these words. And this is the sleep that speaks of laziness and slothfulness. You ever seen a sloth? You ever seen how they move? That's where we get the word slothful. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands in sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that travails, and your need as an armed man. I'm going to turn. I don't want you to take the time. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 24 for a moment because I want to read the whole thing to you. Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Does this describe your spiritual life while you sit on the plateau? The place of ease. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands in sleep or to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Jesus tells a parable of 10 virgins. And they speak of those who are waiting to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus. These were 10 bridesmaids who were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And in their culture, no one knew at what hour the bridegroom would come. It was this great surprise. And we know that 5 had oil in their lamps, representing the readiness of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. 5 had let their lamps run low, and they had no oil, no presence of the Lord. And while they slept, the bridegroom came, and there was a great shout. And 5 went in because they were prepared, they had oil. 5 were shut out because in order to enter, you had to have oil in your lamps. Listen to me closely. They all slept. All of the church was sleeping. Some were sleeping in the perfect will of God, with their lamps full of the presence of the light of Christ. But the other half were sleeping in slothfulness and laziness, and they missed out on what was in store for them when the bridegroom came. We have a picture in this passage of Scripture, again, that we're reading. Jesus leaves 3. He moves a little bit further. He says as he comes back to them, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" When you don't go on with God, listen, believer, when you don't go on with God, you will eventually go to sleep. You will become lulled into complacency, and you will be easily deceived. Temptation grows in that place. Temptation grows, and sin becomes easier. And so when you say to yourself, "I think I'm just going to chill and coast for a while," the devil has you right where he wants you. Unprepared, no oil in your lamp. There were these 3 out of the 12. There was the 12th out of the multitude, because everyone is in a different place in their walk with the Lord. Every time we take a step further in God, we always leave behind others. Every time we take a step forward in the Lord, we always leave behind others, some whom we love dearly, spiritually speaking. And I have a word for you this morning from the Lord. If others around you are sleeping, don't go to sleep with them. Leave them. Get up and go a stone's throw further, and don't miss what God has for you. Every time we take a step further with God, we count the cost. There's something that we leave behind. So what is it that we miss? What was it that Jesus encountered in the garden? What is it that we miss if we don't go that stone's throw further? We're not going to read again, but in verse 43, we see that an angel came and ministered to Christ. I want you to understand that if you won't take the stone's throw further, you won't continue in a supernatural walk with God. And what is a walk with God if it's not a supernatural walk with God? It's dead religion. That's what it is. But who wants dead religion when you can have the presence of Christ? You can have a speaking God who speaks to you. You can have supernatural encounters with the Lord. You can have Him leading you, strengthening you. The angel came and supernaturally strengthened the Lord. And do not fall into the fallacy of thinking, well, if He hadn't gone a stone's throw further, if I don't go a stone's throw further, I won't be in a place where I'll be in such need for an angel to strengthen me. How many of you know right now, even on the plateau, you need strength from heaven? So would you rather miss God's perfect plan for you while you sit on the plateau with no supernatural encounter with God, no strength from angels? Or would you just rather say, you know what, it's going to be hard either way. I'm going to count the cost. I'm going to go a stone's throw further because I've got the presence of Christ waiting on me there. To be able to see things spiritually, to see in the realm of the Spirit, you have to be committed to go further. When you walk out of this door today, you will have encountered a choice to either sit where you are and miss something or to go a little bit further with the Lord. I want you to notice, it doesn't say he went a couple of stone throws further. Just a stone's throw. He's not calling you to leap a mountain this morning. He's not calling you to be Superman. He's saying, you know where I'm leading. Some area of your life, will you just go a stone's throw at a time? And I'll meet you there. And I'll pull you through those places that are hard. In Matthew 26:38, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I'm overcome with this. He was overcome with sorrow. When we study this out in the Greek, when it says the disciples slept, and when it says Jesus agonized in a sorrow and agony, it's all such a heaviness that it's like a depression had come over him and a depression had come over the disciples. They didn't sleep because they were sleepy. They slept. Have you ever been so depressed all you wanted to do was sleep? Yes. They slept because they could not bear to see what was happening. They had no strength. And God wanted us to understand that in your own strength, you can't do it anyway.
That's right.
That it's His grace, His strength, His power, His Spirit. Not by might, human might. Not by power, human power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, but He still went towards it, not from it. He went a little further, fell on his face and prayed. And he received deliverance. Notice he didn't go to the disciples or someone else and whine and cry and say, oh, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Oh, God. Or in anger, blaming others. He went further with the Lord, with his Father. It's time for you and I to grow up. It's time for us to read the Word as the living, supernatural, inerrant, perfect Word of the living God.
Amen.
To apply what we read to our hearts and our lives. To be worshipers. I won't ask you how many of you ever worship God on your own. I'm not just talking about prayer. I do not mean to sound harsh here, but I know my own struggles at times. I would venture to say there's 5% or 10% in the average church, even here, that are truly worshiping on Sunday morning. Just because we're singing some songs doesn't mean we're shutting out the cares of the day and we put our focus on the Lord and we mean what we're saying and what we're singing to Him. And we're bowing our hearts in submission, adoration, and worship. Are you a worshiper? Not just in church, in the meetings, but in your walk with the Lord. How many of you earnestly seek the presence of God? Not some mystical strange goosebumps, but truly seeking to be in the center of His will, saying, not my will, but yours be done, giving Him everything that He asks, loving Him, following the cloud as it moves. Too many people are willing to stop. Too many people are willing to stop. And if you sense that in the people around you, then you need to get up. Lovingly leave them where they are for now. And go forward. Go a stone's throw. And if necessary, leave them behind. You've walked with God. So had the three. Beloved, some pastor from the past or some evangelist, I don't know, remember who it was, said this, and it would be worth remembering. Never let the glory of past triumphs keep you from future triumphs. It doesn't matter what great mountaintop experience you had at camp. It doesn't matter what great mountaintop experience you had 10 years ago. It doesn't matter what happened to you at retreat. It doesn't matter what happened in your prayer closet 10 years ago if nothing's happening right now. Never let the glory of past triumphs keep you from future triumphs.
Amen.
Song of Solomon chapter 5, if you will turn there. Verses 2 through 8. This is another word that God recurringly brings to me in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And do you understand when I say that God brings the word recurringly to me? What does that mean? It must mean that I need to hear it repeatedly. That he has to deal with his servant. For those who are new to the word, this is a love poem between a bridegroom and his bride-to-be. But it is also a picture for us in the Word of God of the love between Jesus and his bride, the church. And so in verse 2, the Shulamite, she is his love. She says, I sleep. I said there are two kinds of sleep. She's sort of in between. I sleep, but my heart is awake. You'll see, she's not where she needs to be, but she still has a desire for him. I sleep. But my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. She hears him calling. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord thinks of you? My dove, my love, my perfect one. He wants to be with her. He says, for my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. He is chilled with the cold of the dew of the evening. And he wants to come into the warmth of her presence and spend time with her. Do you understand? The heart of Christ for you. He is not after, though your love will perform many works for him. He is not after how much you can serve him here or there or anywhere. He is after you.
Amen.
A relationship with you. My head is wet. It's covered with dew. My locks with the drops of the night. Let me in where I want to be with you. He loves her. I have taken off my robe, she says. How can I put it on again? She is comfortable lying upon her bed. The Lord wants to speak to us about our comfort. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? I'm going to get my feet dirty if I get up to let you in. She sounds like a snowflake. A millennial. Pardon to the millennial. Sorry. My beloved, listen to this. My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door. She hears his movements. He's that close. How many of you have heard the Lord? You knew he was saying, I want you to get closer to me. I've got something to show you. I want some time with you. My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. Have you ever been in that place? You'll find yourself in that place sometimes on the plateau, like those disciples. You're sleeping, and yet you yearn for him, but you're not willing to get up. Not willing to go one stone's throw further. I rose after she has delayed it. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. She's perfumed. She's ready for him now. My fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I've got myself all presented now. I'm ready for him. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. Do you not believe that the Lord will sometimes let you have to look for him? That there will be seasons when it seems, and it is true, he is there for you, but you have to walk it by faith. But my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen watch over the city at night. Beloved, listen closely to me, and I will soon be through with this. The watchmen are the leaders. The watchmen are the older ones. They're the ones, they represent the ones who are supposed to know where he is. They are the ones who've walked with God. They are the ones who have represented authority in your life. They're the ones you should be able to listen to. You should be able to go to them with your questions and get answers. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. Sometimes you'll be so desperate for the Lord and no one else even understands or cares. They think you're talking too religious or too fanatical. You're seeking after the Lord with all your heart. And they don't have any word for you except something cold and heartless that leaves you wounded. But you have to go a stone's throw further than them. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am lovesick. And we're not going to read any further, but you can read later and know that she can describe him because of past encounters. She knows everything about him. She knows his voice. She knows his neck, his arms. She describes what he's like because she knows the one that she loves. And you can come and you can sit at a place on a plateau and not go further with the Lord. Why do you think the old hymn of the church says, Savior, Savior, do not pass me by? While on others you were calling, do not pass me by. I used to be so troubled by that hymn. It's not talking about your salvation. If you're crying out to the Lord, he will save you. But he wants more than that with you. And they're saying in that hymn, while on others you're calling for this intimate relationship that we're talking about right here between the bridegroom and the bride. Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Let me run after you from the very beginning. Let me get up and let me chase after you until I find you. Let me go a stone's further until I can describe what you're like in my life, how I know you intimately, what you're speaking to my inner ears, what you're telling me about my future, how you're strengthening me with the supernatural strength of heaven, how your spirit is indwelling me, how I know you. Notice in our original passage, they slept three times and Jesus woke them up three times. The book of Hebrews tells us that while they were sleeping, he was a stone's throw away within hearing distance, having an encounter with God, a supernatural encounter with God, and also crying out in agony, pleading, strong cries and tears, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. They slept. Meanwhile, a stone's throw away, Jesus was engulfed in the presence of God, in the presence of the Father, and eternal things were taking place. Things of eternal significance were taking place. They went up on the mountain with him of transfiguration, and they saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus earlier, and it was this incredible high point of their lives. This is far beyond that. And they're sleeping. And beloved, there will always be those, and you must take your eyes off of them. Amen. There will always be those in the church who can sleep even though the glory of God is being manifest all around them. They have no care for it. They have no desire for it. They don't want to go a stone's throw further. There are those who can sit in a service and someone next to them may be encountering the convicting word of God, tears streaming down their face, and they're like a zombie sitting there. It means nothing to them. They're not fazed. And God help you if you're unfazed by the presence of God. I wish that I could go back to Georgia this morning and I could bring you a piece of Savannah River agate. This flint rock that's so hard, it's like steel, and they polish it and make beautiful jewelry and stuff out of it. But it's hard. I started to say hard as a rock. It is a rock. And you can take a piece out of the Savannah River, and it can have been in the Savannah River for 1,000 years. And it's wet as wet can be on the outside, but you take a hammer and you split it open and it's nothing but dry dust, dry as dead bone on the inside. And you can sit in church. You can sit in church year after year and you can be wet on the outside because the glory of God is all around and things are happening. But if it never invades your heart, you have missed everything that God has for you. A stone's throw this morning. Just a stone's throw. For you, it may mean 30 minutes earlier in the morning to seek God in prayer. Or for some of you, it may mean taking some extended times of prayer. It may mean that you're in a place where you need to fast and pray until you get a breakthrough. It may mean taking time to read His Word. Just a stone's throw further. May mean dealing with something very hard that's coming your way. Something uncomfortable that you know God is saying that you must face. It may mean forgiving. It may mean honesty in a relationship. It may mean letting God break us in some area of sin in our life that He wants to deal with. It may mean your own altar experience with the Lord. For the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks previous, the Lord's been, I didn't plan this. The Lord's been giving you a specific word each week if you want revival in your life and if you want to draw close to Him. Week before last, I challenged you all day long to pray, fill me with your Spirit and mean it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Last week, I challenged you to remember God. Remember His mighty deeds. Remember the things He's already done in your life. Remember His mighty deeds in the Word of God. Remember, like the prodigal son, he remembered his father's house and he went home. Remember. Remember your first love and return. Today, the Lord has challenged you to be willing to go a stone's throw further. Take a step further to be with the Lord. I would suggest these things, and I'm closing. And these are things that I have done and continue to do. Pray for desire. You say, but I'm cold. How do I stir myself? I don't want to be fake. You be honest with God. You pray and say, Lord, I don't have the desire I once had. Give me desire. And you continue to pray. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, don't ever let me go because we're all subject to failure.
Amen.
Lord, don't take your hand off of me. Don't stop dealing with me. If there's sin in my life, pray like David. Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in me. Search my heart.
Amen.
And if I'm protecting my heart and I don't seem to be letting you show me because I don't want to see it, then you deal with me. You do whatever it takes.
Yes, Lord.
That I can go a stone's throw further with you. Change my heart, O God. Don't let me go.
Amen.
Keep your hand on me. Fulfill your purpose in me. Don't let me miss it, Lord.
Amen.
Go a stone's throw further with God. Fill me. Fill me that I may be filled with the presence of God. Not a hard rock on the outside that's wet with church, but saturated through and through.
Yes,
Lord. Let's stand. Paul, would you come? I don't do altar calls every Sunday because sometimes they're just a habit, a habitual thing and a show. And I'm not going to pray individually unless you need me afterwards. You feel free to ask me. But I'm going to ask those who want to go a stone's throw further with the Lord that you would just come and stand in the front this morning. I'm going to pray for everyone, but take a step of faith. Put legs to your thoughts and say, God, I mean it. I mean it. So that maybe you'll even remember when you walk out of here and you say, Lord, deal with my heart. Deal with my heart. As we worship those who are wanting God to deal with them, please come.
Say never.
Send your spirit to plow the ground in every heart, Lord God. I ask this by faith, believing that your word will stick, that it will be planted, that it will remain. I pray, Lord, that you would not let anyone who has come forward, or even those who didn't, you would not let them escape this word. You speak in Zechariah about how your word ran down the fathers and overcame them, Lord God. I pray for a positive running down of these with your word, that you would chase them, Lord God. But I pray in response, Lord, as they hear you saying that your hand is by the latch of the door, that they would get up and they would respond.
Yes, Lord.
And they would chase after you.
Yes,
Lord God, let them come to you even this afternoon and say, oh, Jesus, fill me again. Fill me with your spirit. God, I trust in your word. And your word is everything. I believe what your word says. I believe it and I trust in it. And I will pattern my life after it. Speak to them in specific areas, Lord God, from your word. And speak to them concerning the things that are in their heart, Lord God. And help them when they need to give something over to you, Lord God. And lead them to go a stone's throw further this week. Show them, each one of them, what that stone's throw means. What is the step forward, just to maybe step out of laziness to follow you, or to step out of unforgiveness to follow you, or to step out of the distractions of the love of the things of this world, to learn what it means to be man or woman, boy or girl of God. Keep your hand on them, Lord God, and let them know that what they've done today, that there will be a difference. As they do their part seeking after you, don't let them go. I ask you, Lord, don't let them go. Let them bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold fruit,
yes,
because they went stone's throw further.
Yes.
In the mighty and precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.